Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is the middle of January, and it's all about being out on the ice and catching fish. And Steve Kearney joins us, SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. Steve-O, how you been?
Fabulous, Steve. How's your day?
Yeah, good. Hanging in there. Bright, sunny day here in the cities. And looks like we're going to get some cloud cover moving in. Another little shot of light snow tomorrow. But here we are in the middle of January. How are things out on the ice?
Well, Steve, I just got back from Big Stone Lake over in Ortonville on the South Dakota-Minnesota border. And it was pretty tough. And I really don't know why. I have no excuse. The weather was perfect. High pressure was in. I mean, everything was lined up to be a pretty good couple of days, but it was slow, and that lake can be like that. It's really a tremendous destination. I mean, last year, it was just lights out last year, just fabulous fishing, but the trouble with perch on Big Stone is they can be very finicky, and that fish can be, it makes you pull your hair out. They just can be, you know, they'll come in, they'll look, and they'll leave, or they'll take your bait in, spit it out quick, and they're just very touchy. So we didn't do very well in the perch, zero on the walleyes, but we did get some amazing bluegills, and that's what's kind of happening on Big Stone Lake. It is developing into a tremendous pan fishing destination. I had one that was 12 inches, which is huge for a bluegill. And the crappies are nice. It just they started showing up about 3-4 years ago, and they never used to be in there, but it's now developed into a great crappie and bluegill fishery. And the ice was good. We could get around, you know, wherever we needed to go, and it was just kind of one of those days that it just wasn't happening, and we moved a lot, drilled a lot of holes, and, you know, did the best we could, but, you know, that's the way it is. And it's kind of interesting because when I came back the second day, I went down to a lake close to where I live in Lakes Country, and I had a bite going there for 4 weeks, and they've been in the same area, and I went in there the afternoon, and they were gone. So something tells me that there was something going on in the atmosphere or the pressure or something that shut down both of these lakes. So, you know, it is what it is. I just, you know, haven't quite figured it out, but that's fishing.
All right, Steve, there are areas that have seen even more snow. Are we at the point in winter now where the ice conditions are what they're going to be for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, it's pretty tough, Steve, overall. There are some lakes, you know, through Lakes Country, northern Minnesota, that there are some plowed roads by resorts. But, boy, freelancing out there, and which I've been doing in a snowmobile only, I mean, ATVs, forget it. Side-by-sides, forget it. It's strictly snowmobile. And, you know, we've had slush issues for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, what's weird is we get, you know, 20 below like this morning, and it freezes that slush. And then tomorrow it's supposed to be in the 30s, and that's going to bring the slush back again. So it's been kind of an ongoing thing coming and going. So the important thing is you have a wingman with you. You really don't want to be running around on these lakes, you know, by yourself, because you can easily get stuck. And if you get stuck in slush, you're going to be there for a while. So a lot of it is, you know, this whole winter has been, you know, a transportation issue on trying to get to where you want to go. And, you know, driving on the lakes, not a lot of people are doing that. It's just you're kind of stuck with a snowmobile. So that's the way it's going to be, I think, for the duration, you know, until March. And, you know, we've had so much snow. It's just incredible. We're getting 14 inches, then we get 8, then we get 6, and that, you know, just complicates things. And that's the way it's been in northern Minnesota, northwestern Minnesota, and, you know, and down far west, you know, down by that big stone area, they just got 8-9 inches. So it does complicate things. You just have to be use a little ingenuity to get to where you want to go. But, again, you've got to be very safe, and snowmobile really is the only way to go.
Yeah, and, Steve, it's getting to the point where, you know, it goes quick now. You better make your plans and better get out there, because here we are a couple of weeks from the end of the month already, and February is a short month, and that there isn't a lot of time left in this ice fishing season. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's probably 6 weeks left or so, but, you know, fishing has been really good, Steve. This has been probably one of the best winter seasons I've ever had for crappies and walleyes, and that's why it's been kind of frustrating, because fishing has been so good, but the transportation part's been so difficult. So everybody's kind of running into the same thing. You want to get to your certain spots, but some you can't get to, so you fish secondary spots, but it really has been a good season. It's just, you know, all about accessing where you want to go.
Steve Kearney joining us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Steve, you going to make a trip out to the border waters again anytime soon, or is that it?
You know, that's a tough one, Steve. I'm going to have to think about that a little bit. You know, sometimes, you know, you hit a bad period, or you hit, you know, perch on Big Stone and Traverse and those lakes, they really cycle, where they'll be small for maybe a year or two, and then all of a sudden you got jumbos moving in, and a lot of it depends on fishing pressure and food and habitat, and it just, it's really hard to predict how it's going to be. But yeah, it was a tough time on Big Stone, but it's such a great lake. And I'm up on the upper one-third of the lake, too. So I'm up there where there's no people, very private, there's no plowed roads, and very quiet. And that's really a key on that lake, is you got to get away from the traffic, the ATVs, the vehicles, the plowed roads, because that lake is very shallow, you know, 8 to 10 feet of water. So you've got to get away, you know, from the traffic, and that's really kind of the key. So I'm not totally disappointed. I'm a little bummed out about it, but, you know, maybe get back one more time and just, you know, keep at it.
And, Steve, I know that's a go-to spot for you early in the open water season. I know we've talked for years, and you really like that spot early in the season.
Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful destination in April and May, and it's usually you can get 3-4 weeks of fishing in there before the Minnesota Inland Opener. Doesn't get a lot of pressure early in the spring, but, yeah, it is one of the fine destinations early in the year, and I'm really looking forward to that, and that could be like 90 days away. It's not that far away, and, you know, the Missouri River could be opening up next month, and, you know, that's on the agenda, so trying to get the boat, you know, the new boat rigged, and, you know, there's all kinds of supply chain problems for people out there buying boats and outboards and electronics, and, you know, we're dealing with that. So that's a whole other issue, but I think we're going to end up having these same problems through the spring. So it's going to be an adventure, Steve, a big adventure.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how that goes. Seems like I just put the old pontoon into storage. I still don't have a bill for the winterizing and the storage. And I was thinking I might call the dealer today and say, hey, are you going to bill me for that? And I thought, no, I'll wait another week. And
he might have a real surprise for you. Maybe he's waiting to kind of ramp it up a little bit and get you at the last minute when you pick it up. So you never know.
Well, I was having a little trouble with the front lights, the red and the green. So I had them swapped out for LEDs. So maybe he's going to spring a big bill for throwing some new lights on the thing for me. Like I say, it's old, so it needs work, and I'm gradually replacing this and that. Well, Steve, always good to visit with you. Look forward to our chat again in a week.
Hey, sounds good, Steve. Have a great rest of your weekend.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com, keeping us up to date out. The Big Stone bite wasn't quite what he had hoped, but you know, Steve's going to get right back on the fish, and we'll hear about it next Saturday. Quick break. We're going to come back. High school girls hockey. We're going to go to Rogers after the break. And then at 4:30 today, we'll talk football. Chris Thomason covers the purple for the Pioneer Press. There's a lot to do, a general manager, a head coach, filling out a coaching staff. Where does the search stand? Will they go general manager? And then the general manager will help select a coach. There's a lot of rumors flying. We'll get into all of that with Chris from the Pioneer Press at 4:35 right here. A News Talk, 830-WCCO. Wild got a big win last night. They finally played a game. They beat the Ducks in St. Paul, the final 7-3 last night. They jumped out to a big lead, and actually 7-4, 7-3 last night. 7-3 last night over the Ducks. I lost track. The Wild were up 3-1, and then I did something else, and I came back, and it was like 6-1. So the Wild get it done. The Timberwolves were idle. They get back at it tomorrow night. Golden State will be in town. Our coverage begins at 6:30, tip 7 o'clock. And then I'll be in after the game tomorrow night. Here on the home of the Timberwolves, News Talk, 830-WCC. And all of a sudden, the Timberwolves need a victory. They've dropped a couple games on the road. Once again, Wild beat the Ducks 7-3 last night. Speaking of hockey, high school girls hockey, Rogers having an outstanding season. And Emily Ockerkirk joins us, head coach. Emily, good to visit with you, and congrats on a great start.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, 13-4-2 coming into the year. Did you feel like you had a pretty good team?
Yeah, definitely. I was lucky enough to be able to run STP last summer and really get a good glimpse of all the talent and hard work that we have on our team. So definitely came into the season with high expectations.
Yeah, and great building in Rogers and a growing program. The youth are really excited. Girls hockey and boys hockey, it really is booming in Rogers.
Yeah, it is big time. I think we have four U10 teams right now. And I mean, we are co-op with Anoka on the youth girls side, but it's really promising to see the youth program growing so much.
Yeah, and that really is important to get the kids excited about it because, you know, boom, they're in middle school. Next thing you know, they're in high school and trying out for the high school team. So getting the kids is excited. But, you know, winning also helps, and your team's been doing a lot of that this year.
Yes, true. That definitely does help.
Yeah, and let's talk about this squad. You got some definite elite goal scoring. Looking at some of the stats, you got a couple of players that can really put the puck in the net.
Yeah, we do. We are very confident in our first two lines being able to put the puck away. Those six forwards are extremely talented, and on top of that, work hard day in and day out.
Yeah, and, you know, behind the top two goal scorers, Avery Farrell and McKenna Sandberg, there's a lot of balance, and that's got to be nice as a coach to know that, you know, you're going to get scoring from a couple of lines.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a huge part of our game. A lot of teams are lucky to have, you know, a really good first line and then don't always necessarily have another line behind them to back them up. So it's nice for us to be able to have a line out against what the other team's top line and then follow that up with just as much scoring ability. And I think that gives us an edge.
What about the blue line? Who stands out for Rogers defensively this year?
I think one of our big defenders is Leah Hatcher. She's a senior captain, and she really can quarterback the play, and her D-zone play and grit and positioning are all really top tier, and I think that is a big help to not only our defensive play, but her quarterbacking adds to our offensive play.
Yeah, it makes everybody feel comfortable. The great players on defense make it look easy, and I would assume that's the assumption there. And then goaltending. It looks like you've been getting really good goaltending this year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Goaltending is definitely a strength of ours. We have two junior goaltenders who we can trust in any game that we play. So it's a really special situation to have not just, you know, one really solid goaltender, but two.
Yeah, Lauren Larson, save percentage, 948. Alexa Backman, 944. That's really good.
Yeah, it is. It's very exciting, and I think how great they are at goaltending gives us even more edge on the offense because we can trust in them so much. We can take a couple extra chances.
Yeah, and I look at the schedule your team's played. Northwest Suburban, number one, you think Andover. Number two, you think Maple Grove is being elite teams. But, you know, you look earlier, early December, you went up to Andover and fought them to a 3-2. Now you lost, but that's pretty good performance against an excellent team like Andover.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think that was, you know, one of two games that really proved to us how good of a team we can be. You know, these girls have been playing Andover their whole lives and have always seen them as, oh, it's Andover. It's this big game. And I think by them playing them so tight, and yes, we lost, but I think that's one of those almost morale wins in that it showed us we can compete and be there right with the top teams in the state.
Well, and Rogers can certainly be a factor because not long before that, you played Edina. Oh, by the way, Andover and Edina have met for the last 2A titles. Andover winning one a couple of years ago, Edina winning the last. So, you know, they're the teams to beat year in and year out, and you played them both 3-2. So it had to be a huge lift. And, oh, by the way, Maple Grove, another outstanding program, and you played them very tough as well.
Yeah, those three games really stand out as showing us we are right there with the top contenders.
Yeah, one of the things I know about girls hockey is that the season goes really quick because by early February you're jumping into section play. Look at the schedule, there's only six to go in the regular season. I suppose you can't believe it, the girls can't believe it, that, you know, it's almost, you know, one and done time with section playoffs.
Yeah, it's coming up really fast. Definitely. I didn't expect it to go this fast, honestly. We are about halfway through the season, and I was like, oh, we still have half the season to go, and now it's down to, like you said, what, the last six games? It's really time to hone in on all the little things that make our game great.
Now, what section do you play out of? Are you in the same section as Maple Grove?
Yep. Yeah, we're in 5AA.
All right. So a super tough section, but nevertheless, you alluded to the confidence, and this group has to be super confident playing out the rest of the season and going into the section playoffs. That, you know, you have a legit chance to get to state this year.
Yeah, I think we're really starting to feel that confidence. You know, coming out of winter break, it was not the best hockey we put on the ice, but in these last couple games, we've really worked to be better and get back to, like, our Royals hockey game. And, yeah, we're starting to feel really confident going into section.
Well, Emily, good to visit with you, and congrats on a terrific season for Rogers girls hockey, and certainly going to be a factor come playoff time because, like I say, you've played the best in the state and been right there with them, so it's certainly fun to see. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Emily Hector-Kirk, head coach up at Rogers, and Rogers really getting it done this year. It's been impressive, 13-4. And two, and Tuesday, they host Osseo Park Center. And like I say, six to go in the regular season, girls section playoffs. And then by the end of February, it'll be the state tournament for 2A and 1A at the XL Energy Center in St. Paul. It is 4:29. We'll take a break. We'll have an update on the weather. It looks like a little snow could come in overnight, early Sunday. And then we'll talk Viking football. Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press, the general manager search, head coach search, a lot on the table for the Purple. We'll get into all of that coming up here on News Talk, E3OWCCO. The NFL playoffs are underway. Cincinnati and leading the Las Vegas Raiders along the Ohio River. And the Raiders got a field goal, a 47-yarder from former Viking Daniel Carlson. Cincinnati has taken the lead since then. And we'll talk more about the scoreboard and the schedule in the NFL playoffs. By the way, 13-6 right now, late second quarter in Cincinnati. But the Vikings, they have a lot to do. They didn't make the playoffs. Mike Zimmer's out the door. Rick Spielman's out the door. Who will be the new general manager? Who will be the new head coach? Chris Thomason joins us from the Pioneer Press, online at TwinCities.com. Chris, how are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to visit with you. A lot going on, a lot of rumors to keep track of. We do know this, that the Vikings have requested the permission to interview some assistant coaches.
Yeah, they put in requests today right before the start of the playoffs with coaches on 7 playoff teams. Nathaniel Hackett, obviously the Green Bay offensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, former Falcons head coach, Todd Bowles, former Jets head coach, Jonathan Gannon, former Vikings assistant, are some of those names. Basically, they just wanted to get the requests in because they don't know how long these teams are going to linger in the playoffs. And obviously, there's teams that didn't make the playoffs that they can request and talk to the folks anytime. And then you have some guys like Doug Peterson who are not currently in the NFL. So this is just kind of an early working list, and I wouldn't read too much into it at this particular point.
And Chris, do you get the sense that they're going to hire a general manager first, and then that general manager would have input on who the head coach is?
Yeah, most definitely. Mark Wilf said that was the plan. He said that last Monday, hire the general manager first, then the coach. So they'll be doing general manager interviews this week, and then probably, you know, doing them by Zoom to start, and then probably bringing some candidates maybe in the following week. So maybe try to name a general manager within the range of around 2 weeks or so, and then, you know, get hopping on the head coaching situation. I mean, could be a case of they go for one of the assistants who's in the Super Bowl, and then maybe the head coach isn't named till after the Super Bowl. We'll just have to see how things unfold.
And, Chris, in a situation like this, you've been around. As a beat writer, you got to keep your head on a swivel right now, because until that general manager is named and that head coach is named, you know, there's a lot of potential breaking news and names are going to float. So I suppose this is where you really have to crank it up. Even though this season is over, keeping an eye on this is a big deal.
Well, we're really not going to know a lot regarding the coach until the general manager is named, because it's so important that the general manager and the head coach be on the same page, be working in concert. I mean, say what you know, Spielman and Zimmer, I mean, there were plenty of rumblings about they weren't always on the same page, and obviously Spielman hired Zimmer, so it wasn't like he inherited him, but you got to make sure those guys are working together. And so after we know who the general manager is, or when it's down to maybe a couple candidates for the general manager, we'll be able to look and kind of see all the coaches that they've worked with, and then it gets down to the nitty-gritty, because I wouldn't be surprised if, well, they'll be talking to the general manager, and if the general manager says, well, you name me and I can deliver this guy as coach, and it's a guy on the Vikings list and guy they really want, I mean, who knows, maybe they come in as a package deal.
Chris Thomason joining us from the Pioneer Press, online at TwinCities.com. Been on the beat for a while now, and certainly a big story. It's interesting, though, in these situations, especially with a high-profile team like the Minnesota Vikings. They're the number one sports franchise in this market. There's no question about that. We love the Twins and the Wild and the Timberwolves and all of that, but the Vikings garner the most interest. There's no doubt about that. And people do want to know really what was the behind the scenes between Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer and ultimately their star quarterback, Kirk Cousins. And we're going to probably hear more and more stories about that. You alluded to, you know, was there a rift between Spielman and Zimmer? How well did Zimmer get along with the starting quarterback? We'll probably hear more of those stories going forward.
Yeah, definitely. I saw somebody tweeted out a podcast that Deion Sanders was on in the last day or two, and I listened to that. And Deion said he spoke to Mike Zimmer, and Zimmer said that he hadn't talked to Spielman in months, which could be an exaggeration. I can't imagine they didn't speak in months. You know, they didn't walk by each other in the hallway or anything. But, I mean, who knows? Yeah, Moore's probably going to come out and that sort of stuff when maybe some of these Spielman and Zimmer are talking to people behind the scenes and stuff starts getting out. But yeah, it was evident that in the latter portion of this last season, you know, perhaps they weren't on the same page. Yeah. But I mean, that's what happens when a team underachieves and that sort of thing. I mean, both guys probably were looking out for their own jobs, so that probably added to the situation.
There is a sense, though, and you kind of read the tea leaves and stories that, you know, Mike Zimmer wants to coach. There'll be a spot for him as soon as next season, you know, as an assistant somewhere, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a possibility. I mean, Wade Phillips came in, former head coach, and banged around after being a head coach and had success as a defensive coordinator. I mean, I think it's going to be hard. And Patrick Peterson echoed this speaking on his podcast this week. I think it's going to be hard for Zimmer to land another head position being 65 years old. And he even admitted when he's got his extension, he said, well, he wanted 3 years because, hey, I'm getting up there in years, and who knows if there'll be opportunities for other teams. That's one reason why he wanted to stay in Minnesota and get as lengthy of an extension as he could. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, nobody really knows what he wants to do. Obvious whether his ego will allow him to step down and just be a defensive coordinator again. I mean, we'll have to see who gets some of these head positions and if any of them are Zimmer's buddies that he wants to work for.
Yeah. Chris Thomason joining us. Back to the general manager. Are there any candidates? Because generally these general manager candidates aren't household names like top assistants are in the NFL. Anybody pays attention to football, some of these coordinators get a lot of television coverage and a lot of attention during any given game. But the general manager candidates aren't as well known.
No, they're definitely not. I mean, I'll be honest, when some of these names surfaced, it's like, okay, I better Google them. But a guy like Brandon Brown, Philadelphia people have known about, he's certainly well-respected. The guys in Cleveland they're talking about, including Glenn Cook, he's quite well-respected. And obviously they can talk to Kevin Stefanski, who the Wilf family and others in the organization knows and trusts to get the lowdown on some of these guys. So I'm sure they'll be talking to people that are close to some of these candidates that they trust, and that will help them moving forward during the process.
And with this, you've got Mark Wilf and Ziggy Wilf and Leonard Wilf, the owners of the team, and obviously they've been willing to spend money, and they got U.S. Bank Stadium built with a lot of taxpayer help. They've got TCO Performance Center out in Eagan. I mean, they have put the resources forth. The Minnesota Vikings have a terrific fan base, terrific fan support. There's a history with this franchise. It's got to be an appealing job for a general manager, and then beyond that, a head coach, because there is certainly committed ownership.
Yeah, they've definitely put a lot of money into the Vikings, put a lot of money into signing Kirk Cousins and that sort of thing. Obviously, the pandemic, though, hasn't helped the bottom line. I think we're going to know a little bit more about how they plan to spend when we see what happens with the coach and the general manager openings, especially the coaching openings. I mean, do they hire Doug Peterson, who's going to want $8 to $10 million a year, when they're already paying Mike Zimmer a bunch of money, or are they going to go for an assistant type where they won't have to pay him as much? So I think we'll know a little bit more on their spending thoughts moving forward when we see what kind of money they spend on the next head coach, for instance.
Yeah, and Chris, before we let you go, I want to get a thought on a piece you did, and that is, number one, what do you do with Kirk Cousins and his contract? And then beyond that, the draft. Depending on what the decision is with Cousins, could that first-round pick, number 12, I believe your story said, could it be a quarterback or the quarterback of the future?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't know who the general manager and head coach will be, but yeah, it's certainly very possible. As I wrote today, that the number 12 pick in the draft could be a quarterback, which would be the highest the Vikings have taken a quarterback since number 12 in 2011, Christian Ponder. So in a way, maybe they'd get a little do-over with that. But the bottom, I mean, if Kirk Cousins is gone, you're going to want to bring in some kind of veteran, but who knows if a long-term type veteran guy is going to land in your lap. Probably not, so you want to protect yourself by moving forward with a quarterback you draft. And if Kirk Cousins is entering the final year of his contract and doesn't sign an extension, then it's the same scenario. And it doesn't seem at this point as if Kellen Mond is really the answer moving forward. I was talking to some draft analysts, and they said if Mond was coming out this year, even though this isn't a great quarterback draft class, at least one draft analyst said the guys in the first round this year are well ahead of where Mond would be if he were coming out. So, yeah, I think if you got a shot at number 12 to take a quarterback, I mean, obviously you don't know what's going to happen with Cousins and the GM and the coach, but it seems to be a reasonable chance they'll take one.
Well, Chris, always good to visit with you, and I would assume your book is still available.
Yeah. Just Google Chris Thomason, Amazon, and the Minnesota Vikings All-Time All-Stars. Yeah, it's be available for a while. So, thanks for the mention.
Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings All-Time All-Stars. Chris Thomason's book, available wherever you buy books, including Amazon. Chris, always good to visit with you. Thanks for the update.
Thank you. Great talking to you, Steve.
There he is, Chris Thomason of the Pioneer Press, online at TwinCities.com. So they put in requests, but as he alluded to, general manager first. It's the only way to go. Get a general manager you're comfortable with. Get a strategy going forward, and then find a head coach that fits in with the general manager. And then, of course, job one, Kirk Cousins, the huge salary cap hit. Do you go in another direction in the short term? Do you draft a quarterback? There's a lot for the Vikings to do as they begin moving toward a new era beyond Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer. Quick break. We'll come back with more here on a Sports Saturday. We'll have a rundown of the NFL schedule. By the way, Cincinnati pulling away from the Raiders. Bengals lead it 20-6 late second quarter. When we come back, that game will be at the half. We'll preview all the other games in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. NFL playoffs underway. Sans Vikings. Cincinnati, you fell behind early. Daniel Carlson, a 47-yarder, but the Bengals now have a 20-6 lead seconds before halftime. Now, the Raiders do have the ball, but Cincinnati looking pretty good. Joe Burrow, good first half, 146 yards passing, two touchdowns in the game today. He is a real deal, a battle of 10 and 7 teams. Tonight, Patriots and Bills from Buffalo. Bills favored by 5 at home. If I'm the Bills, though, for the third time this year, I don't want Bill Belichick. I don't want New England. Bills should win. They're more talented. But would it surprise you if the Patriots pulled the upset? It would not surprise me. I wouldn't lay down any money on this game because of that factor. And the Bills are favored only by 5 at home. And even though they're 11-6 and the Patriots are 10-7, I certainly like the Bills' talent overall more than the Patriots. Then tomorrow, the noon game, Tampa Bay hosting Philly in the NFC. The Bucs favored by 8.5. I think they win and cover easily in that game. I give the Eagles no shot tomorrow on the road against Brady and the Bucs in Tampa. The 3:30 game in the NFC playoffs, San Francisco at Dallas. Cowboys favored by 3. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if the 49ers win that game straight up. And late in the game, I'll be screaming at the TV, "Show Jerry Jones! Show Jerry Jones!" I love it when Jerry Jones gets beat. Not sure why, but I think San Francisco is going to win at Dallas. I do. The Sunday night game, AFC, Pittsburgh, 9-7-1. They've looked terrible at times this season. Terrible. Ben Roethlisberger way over the hill, and still Mike Tomlin got this team into the playoffs. They're in Kansas City on a Sunday night. Kansas City favored by 12.5. I believe Kansas City will win the game. I'm not sure they'll win and cover. And then the Monday night game, we've got Monday night wild card football. TV. TV money. Wild card game on Monday night. Arizona in L.A. to play the Rams at SoFi. The Rams favored by 4. I think the Rams get it done. For whatever reason, the Cardinals at 11-6, I think they peaked much earlier in the season. Well, there you have it. That's wild card weekend in the NFL. We got to run to a break. Much more coming up. Do Young Park covers the Twins for MLB.com, but we're going to talk about his appearance on Jeopardy in December. That follows the news and weather at 5 here on News Talk. E3OWCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.